I was a workaholic and, you know, didn't really want to admit it. We think that that's a badge of honor that is MSPs, that it's 80 hours a week is norm. Being an entrepreneur, that that's normal to be super busy, can't sleep, no vacations, working on the weekends. I was doing all of those things. And the older you get and you realize you're writing checks that your body can't cash over time, that catches up to you. That's kind of what happened. You know, the business was running well, but I wasn't running well. So I knew something had to change.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 54 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. Today on the show, we're going to get a little more personal. We're going to peek behind the curtain at some of the pressures that are placed on you as an MSP leader and everything that comes with them. My guest today is Andrew Moon, an MSP who came to a pivotal moment in his career, a breaking point, if you will, that forced him to reevaluate everything about his business and his life. He ended up selling his MSP in 2014, and he started a new company called Orange Nomad, where he coaches other MSPs on various aspects of running a service provider business, how to bridge the gap between strategy and execution, how to scale successfully and sustainably. And part of that is helping MSP leaders find some peace and balance in their lives when they're up against the constant demands of a 24/7 technology business. In recent episodes, we've been talking about business protection strategies. In episode 51, I spoke to Wes Spencer at Perch Security about ways you can protect your MSP business from a technology perspective. In episode 53, the last episode, I talked to Justin Reinmuth of TechRug about protecting your business with insurance. And in a future episode, I'll be talking to a lawyer about legal protections. And while today seems a little off the theme of protection, the way I see it, it's really not. Because today we're going to be talking about protecting and taking care of you, the business owner or leader, your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. These are personal things, but crucial to your business planning, because without them, well, the business suffers. I'd also like to bring in some strands from a few other past episodes that I think are relevant here. In episode 50, I interviewed bestselling author Mike Michalowicz about his latest book, Clockwork. In that interview, he spoke about, quote, the hustle and grind that seems to be expected of entrepreneurs and business owners, how it can feel like you have to carry the business on your back. But that's exactly what Mike says you shouldn't do. Andrew echoes those ideas. In fact, he shares a story about how meeting Mike was the start of a shift for him and an evaluation of how he'd been running his business up until then. I also had the pleasure of talking to Arlen Sorensen earlier this year. Arlen, of course, is the founder of what was previously known as the HTG peer groups and what are now known as the IT Nation Evolve peer groups under the ConnectWise banner. So Arlen is a guy who has spent years and years working with MSPs, talking to MSPs, digging into their challenges and struggles and hopes and dreams. And something he said really struck me. We were talking about mistakes MSPs make in trying to build value into their business. And he said, without a doubt, those were his words, without a doubt, the biggest mistake he sees is believing that hard work is somehow going to translate into value in the business. And that you can't assume because you get up every day and you go to work and you skip birthdays and ball games and vacations and holidays that anyone else is going to see value in that sacrifice. So if the business doesn't benefit from the sacrifice and you don't benefit physically, mentally, emotionally from that sacrifice, is it time to reconsider how you're doing what you're doing in your MSP? This might be a big question for you, or it might simply be a chance to step back and see where improvements could be made. But this is what Andrew Moon and I dig into. Stay tuned. First, a quick mention of Frankly MSP Live, which is coming up faster than you think in January 2020. Like the podcast, this is an event for owners, leaders, executives, and managers at MSPs. The content we've put together focuses on ways to improve the performance of your MSP business, including sessions on finance, sales and marketing, team management, automation, productivity, and much more. I wanted to mention that we now have team packs available. You get $50 off per ticket with the purchase of two tickets, and you get $100 off per ticket with the purchase of three or more tickets. And you can combine team packs with other promo codes like Frankly50, which gives you an extra $50 off at checkout. That's promo code Frankly50 for an extra $50 off at checkout on all Frankly MSP Live tickets. Go to franklymsplive.com to get your tickets today. Now, my interview with Andrew Moon of Orange Nomad.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hi, Andrew. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Hey, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Your current business, Orange Nomad, was born at a turning point in your MSP career. Tell us what was going on with you at that time.
You know, at the time, you know, I thought I was really successful running an MSP. I've been running an MSP for about 10 years. Most of it was just like every other MSP. The first probably 6 or 8 years was a struggle, just trying to get referrals, trying to build a business, trying to do what everybody else does. Wasted tons of money trying to find the right guru, find the right coach, find the right marketing, all that good fun stuff. So it kind of changed in around 2012. I found a business coach and really found a community to be a part of that allowed me to realize the things that I was doing wasn't right. But around that same time, I'd been running business almost 10 years. So it kind of came to a pivoting point of what do I do at that point? I felt like I had a successful business, but physically, I mean, I was burnt. I had run myself into the ground and just found myself to a crossroads of what's the next direction? What's the next course in life? And that was about 2014. So.
And how did that feel? Just that experience of being at that crossroads and feeling burnt out?
It's the recognition of it was the hard part, because I had bought into the toxic industry norms that you got to hustle, you got to grind. If you're an entrepreneur, business owner, that you got to do all of those things 24/7. And just that realization took me a long time. But when I was finally to the point where I was writing checks that my body finally couldn't cash, that's when I knew something had to change. And that's when I decided, okay, let's figure out what that next step is. What does that look like? What do I do with this business? And it just caused me to really reevaluate everything in my life around 2014. So, but yeah, the realization was the first thing. It didn't feel great. I started the business when my son was 6 months old, ran it for 10 years, and didn't really know who my son was. He didn't really know who dad was. And so when you come to those realizations at a personal level, life becomes more than just business. It becomes more than just being an entrepreneur, being all those things that you think you're supposed to do. So you start to question everything and really reevaluate everything. And that's really what I did in 2014. So
now you said it was ostensibly a successful business. Maybe from the outside looking in, it looked like a successful business. So what did it look like? How many staff did you have? What were you doing day to day?
You know, that was the thing that was the benchmark. When you go to industry events, everybody measures you by how many employees you have. I had 3 virtual staff, and because I started challenging the last few years the norm of what an MSP is supposed to look like, that your office is supposed to look like this, your staff level is supposed to look like this. And I really ran things a bit differently, you know, because I saw big companies doing it, you know, Apple, Amazon, all of their support staff, which was 90% of what we do as MSPs, was done virtually by virtual technicians, virtual support staff. So I've completely flipped that the last couple of years and ran a completely virtual support staff. And had some go-to techs I could rely on for on-site support, which was few and far between because of how we systematized the business. But yeah, we were doing roughly about 30K in MRR. So, you know, not a huge business, but to me, it was a profitable business and a sustainable business over time. It's just, I had built it to such a way where, you know, I was doing so many things. I had done so many things wrong up to that point that it was just kind of, how do you course correct at that point? So
it sounded like you were doing a lot of the right things, right? So you said systematizing, keeping overhead down. What were some of the things that you were doing wrong?
It was just not taking care of myself, physically running that schedule 24/7. I was a workaholic and, you know, didn't really want to admit it. We think that that's a badge of honor that is MSPs, that it's 80 hours a week is norm, being an entrepreneur, that's normal to be super busy, can't sleep, no vacations, working on the weekends. I was doing all of those things. And the older you get and you realize you're writing checks that your body can't cash over time, that catches up to you. That's kind of what happened. You know, the business was running well, but I wasn't running well. So I knew something had to change. Something had to change at that point. And I wasn't having fun anymore. You know, I had lost my reason why I got in business in the first place and kind of lost my way over 10 years. And this was really the longest I had run any business. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 8 years old. A lot of people think that that's funny, but it really was. You know, I come from a background that I knew being an entrepreneur was my way out of the small little town that I lived in. And I had lost that. I had lost my core values along the way as really a human being. And it really made me stop and evaluate what I was doing as a human being. I was not leaving the example that I wanted my son to follow, where everything's about money, everything's about work, and your family doesn't matter. That's not how I was raised. So that's when I knew something had to change.
I wonder, so you were in this position where from the outside, you looked very successful. You said you were like benchmarking against all the expected norms. If it felt like you were alone in this experience because everyone else from the outside also looked like they were succeeding, did you ever talk to anyone about this or say, hey, is this happening to you too?
You know, that's the deceptive part, is nobody wants to go there. And when I would go to industry events where you're sitting with other, you know, a room full of 600 other MSPs, everybody's got the same problem. It's just nobody really wants to talk about it. I think that's more ego driven than anything. You know, being IT is a male dominated industry, and we don't want to appear weak to anyone. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that, yeah, you've got problems along the way. And you start digging into that a little bit, everybody's spouses, they're questioning why we're still in business if we're not having fun, we're not healthy, we're not spending time with our family, we're not doing the reasons why we had gotten business in the first place. But it was hard because even now, nobody really wants to talk about it until you get them one-on-one in a call. And that's what I've been doing over the last 5 years, is you get one-on-one with someone, then the real story comes out. But I think there's that perceived value of coming up that you're weak if you admit that you've got issues that you need to work on. It's rampant in the industry. I still see it. So
you touched on this is a male dominated industry, and that may be part of it. I think these are stresses that are common across all industries. But do you think there's something about running an MSP business in particular that adds to the pressure?
There's a couple things. What I found towards the end is it's 24/7. That's just the nature of the business. And there's not enough qualified people. I mean, I feel tremendously bad for an MSP now because of that, because of the security issues alone around and the challenges around keeping your clients up and not being hacked with ransomware. That keeps you up at night. I feel bad because if you're not running efficiently as yourself, you're not going to keep up with it over time. Eventually, that pace is going to get to you. So I think that challenge of IT being nonstop, it wasn't that way when I started my MSP. 2004, iPhones weren't out. People weren't on devices 24/7 like they are now. And that expectation level of what people expect out of an MSP has dramatically changed since 2004.
So let's talk first about what you did personally to turn things around for yourself. And then we'll talk about the different reality today and some of the advice that you give to MSPs today.
Like I said, it was about the spring of 2014. I'd run across one of the folks that you're going to have at Frankly MSP Live, Mike Michalowicz. I had met him in 2012. And it was funny. I actually tweeted him during the event that I was at and said, hey, if you're not doing anything afterwards, I'm buying beers. Yeah, so I ended up having dinner with Mike after that event. So subsequent events, that's kind of how I started changing my mindset. He helped me really appreciate that being an entrepreneur isn't you having to do everything. It's entrepreneur builds systems so that other people can help that process along the way. So I started to change how I ran my business. And Pumpkin Plan was out at the time. I went through that with a group of other MSPs, and we pumpkin planned our business. So I started there from a business level, getting rid of the people that I didn't want to do business with and firing clients, and then being able to figure out how to build a service that people will pay high dollar for. You know, and I had a client that we were getting $563 a seat, which is unheard of in the MSP industry. But I started challenging the norms from a business level. So I started there from a business level because I started to come to that realization, this isn't something I think I want to do long term. I don't want to do this for another 10 years. I don't know that I physically can do it for another 10 years. So I started building my business in such a way where it made it advantageous for a sale. So I started having other MSPs here in the state of Ohio reach out, and emerged with one finally in 2014. And again, it was a series of life changes that year that really kind of forced the issue for me. I was like, okay, this is the time. This is 10 years. Let's go ahead and do this. But I found, you know, my passion came from teaching and from coaching, from helping people. And that's what I was doing inside the MSP industry before I sold my MSP. So in 2014, I merged with another firm here in Ohio. We went to work together to put two companies together. I did that for about 6 months. In that process, you know, I thought I was going to build something bigger with them. But in that process, I realized that, yeah, I just didn't have the passion for it anymore. I wanted to do something completely different and really get control of my life. So that lifestyle changed for me at the beginning of 2015. I actually took a vacation for the first time in 10 years, a real vacation that didn't have to worry about my phone and all of that stuff. So then I started really designing and building a life that I wanted to live on my terms. And in the process, help as many people along the way that I can. So that's the big pivot for me in 2014 and been doing that ever since.
So now you're working with MSPs as a coach and consultant, and I'm sure you're helping a lot of them with similar struggles right now. So what are some of the tips and advice that you're giving them to deal with this issue in 2019?
I think for the most powerful call that I think I've been on in 5 years came last week, as a matter of fact. I had a call with an MSP. He's in his mid-30s. And I won't give up too much information. He's engaged to get married. Just his fiance, he's not having fun. He's, you know, physically exhausted. The business isn't having fun. My advice is that it's okay to challenge what these toxic industry norms are. And that hustle mania of 80 hours a week, super busy, can't sleep, working on the weekends, it's not sustainable. When I finally said that, he's like, you're the first business coach, you're the first person in this industry that's ever said that that's okay, that that lifestyle is not okay, and that I can build a lifestyle business and I can build a business on my terms, even as an MSP. That's my first advice, is challenge everything that we've been taught. All of the gurus who have been telling us this stuff for the year, benchmarks as to what you should be, what you can be as an MSP. Challenge everything and build something that's designed for you, and that's okay. So I think that would be my first advice. Second advice is get back to the reason why you started your business in the first place. And that's really what I help entrepreneurs do, specifically MSPs, because I have a passion for that, is helping them find why they got in business and then helping them build a life that makes sense for them. I mean, if you go to my LinkedIn, my hashtag for this year is do what is necessary. And what is necessary for me is not necessary for somebody else, and vice versa. But building a life, doing things every day that are necessary to you, to your happiness, that would be my advice to an MSP.
Now, you mentioned earlier, there's this 24/7 culture that is becoming increasingly prominent, which wasn't the case even, you know, 5-10 years ago. You also have difficulties, MSPs have difficulties recruiting talent, which you've mentioned. So how do you recommend they deal with that? Is it a question of outsourcing to a NOC, or what do you recommend in those areas?
It's just not being stuck to your geographic location, because I think most MSPs are still in the mindset that they have to hire people that are geographically located to their office. And they're stuck in that mindset because they feel that they can control them if they're in their office. So I think one, MSPs need to get better at putting systems in place for being able to manage people. We're not generally good at that, but that's something that I got good at, specifically managing remote teams. That opens up a whole new area of talent pool when you're not confined to your geographic location. I mean, I had techs all across the United States, and that would be my first thing, is build systems around what you need to have in place, what benchmarks, what KPIs you need to manage a team remotely where you don't have to stand over them. And then the second thing was put a hiring process in place that allows you to attract the right talent. And most MSPs don't really, I was the same way. I didn't really have a good hiring process to make people feel good about coming to work for my company. And I think that's an Achilles heel for most MSPs, because it's not something we want to take time to do. But then you end up hiring bad people, people who don't want to work, and then we blame them. So I started taking accountability for that myself. That problem's mine. That's my problem to deal with as a leader. And building the leaderships and systems in place would be my recommendation to an MSP. That's the only way you're going to be able to scale a business, is to have good people who know what they're doing and not having to micromanage them all day. And that comes in the hiring process. So,
do you have any good books or resources for people who are looking for information on managing remote teams or building a culture when your team is remote?
The guys from Basecamp have wrote phenomenal books. That's really where I challenged the industry norm. There was a book, Remote. the two guys from Basecamp wrote, Jason Fried, David Heinerman Hansen. Quite a few of their books allowed me to challenge that norm that we have in this industry, that you got to have people sitting in an office and managing them. Most of their team is remote, and they're a hugely successful company. So I started to pattern how we did things upon that, and it worked, because you started being able to hire talented people that wanted to come work for you. Rework was the other book. Rework and Remote were the two books that I read that challenged, for me, how we run our staff. I still had an office, but mainly my office was just for having people come for us to do our presentations for our sales process. But that's really, we had the data center there, but everything was managed remotely. I didn't want to have to manage a staff of people all day long, people coming in and out of my office all day long.
Do you recommend that MSPs who are struggling with these issues of overwork and stress, that they find someone to talk to, a peer group, a coach, even just maybe a counselor?
Definitely, because the worst thing to do is to be stuck in a position where you feel that you have no way out and not doing anything about it. And sometimes it's going to be received well, especially in peer groups. Sometimes it is when you get in smaller groups, but sometimes it's not. But just putting yourself out there and starting the process of getting yourself back, getting your life back is important. And don't feel like you have to do it on your own. There are people out there that will share their experiences. I mean, I think there's quite a few of them that have gotten out of the MSP game that are like myself, are willing to share what we learned, those battle scars, the things that we learned, and how to reshape and rebuild a life that has purpose and meaning for you. But yeah, definitely get help, whatever that is. If just reading a book, that may turn it around for you. That may be the domino that starts the process towards rebuilding your life. Don't stay in that place where you're at and get the help you need.
Now, for you, the happy ending was building your MSP to a sale and then exiting. Do you have any happy endings for MSPs who have stayed in the business?
I do. And like I said, that was the MSPs that initially come to me think that their sales and marketing, that's the solution. But when you start digging into the underlying things in their life, we've been able to help MSPs run more efficiently, helping them build processes and build structure inside their company to be able to scale. Because nobody ever goes back and does the work necessary to restructure things. They think that, okay, more, I got to keep getting more leads, more business, more sales. If the tires on the bus are all flat, putting more people on the bus isn't going to solve the problem. You got to pull the bus over and change the tires. So yeah, I've got probably close to 100 MSPs that we've helped stay in the business. I've had some that I've coached that decided, hey, being an MSP is not what I want to do. And we've helped get them through the process of transitioning to other businesses, other careers where they have a passion. So I think it's just finding what's right, what's best for you.
Thank you so much for joining us today and the honesty that you shared with us today.
I appreciate it, Jennifer. Like I said, I think this is a topic that needs to be had, discussion that needs to be had industry-wide. I'm happy to lead the charge if necessary.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Andrew.
All right. Thanks.
That was Andrew Moon of Orange Nomad. I'll put Andrew's contact information, links to the books he mentioned, and links to the previous episodes I mentioned if you want to go back and have a listen to them. All of that will be in the show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/054. I spoke about an interview I did with Arlen Sorensen. That interview has not yet been published, but watch for a couple of Frankly MSP bonus episodes over the holiday break. You'll be able to listen to more of what Arlen had to say then. And don't forget to grab your tickets for Frankly MSP Live at franklymsplive.com. Again, we have team packs available, and promo code Frankly50 gets you an extra $50 off at checkout on top of those team discounts. By the way, some of you have been asking about room rates at the event venue, the Ritz-Carlton Bacara Santa Barbara. This is a luxury resort, so you will enjoy your time there, but we have secured special room rates of just $229 a night for Frankly MSP Live attendees, and the hotel is just a 10-minute drive from the Santa Barbara Airport. Easy peasy. As I've said before, it's going to be a blast. There are going to be so many smart people there sharing generously of their time and knowledge. So don't miss this chance to be part of the experience. Go to franklymsplive.com to get your tickets. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.